All right, welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt Podcast. I am your host, Braden Tolles. In the studio today, nobody. Well, not nobody. We got my beautiful wife sitting on the floor feeding Royal. They felt like joining us today, so we are going to see. Goodness. We're going to see how it goes. Today, we are going to ring up my good buddy, Drew Berger, and I think we're going to get into some elk talk. We went last year, unsuccessful, very, very close in a couple of situations, you know, and I kick myself in the ass for pretty much both of those situations. There should be, I don't know, a dead bull, and it's really safe to say there should be a dead cow, but, you know, neither one happened. Mistakes were made. We're going to get into it. I'm just giving you a little background on it. I'm going to ring him up, and we're going to get into it, so give me a second.
Hello.
Drew. Oh, God. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, no, I can't hear you. Well, kind of.
Can you hear me?
There we go. I think we got you. Let me play with you a little bit. Let me get you. Here, talk a little bit. Say something.
What's up?
Wow. Man of many words.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit. In and out. But we're gonna go with it and see what happens. How's it sound?
Alrighty.
All right. Well, I'm kind of surprised you made it at a decent time. I was worried. All right, we're going to jump in, and we're going to talk about some elk, right?
Yeah, whatever you want to.
Well, okay. I kind of already led with a little bit that we went to Colorado last year, unsuccessful, and then we're going again this year. Yeah. So what are you thinking? You want to jump in? Should we? Okay, I guess we're going to start with this. So this year is the last year for over-the-counter elk in Colorado, correct?
Yep, it is.
What are your thoughts on that? I think it's interesting to start here because some people might not know it. I mean, I'm assuming 90% of the people who hunt elk do know it, but for maybe a guy who, you know, has, I don't know, just whitetail hunted all his life and he's thinking about going, he might not be fully aware of what's going on. What are your thoughts on what's happening?
Well, hopefully it'll be a good thing. I mean, it does suck that living right next to Colorado and they've been over the counter tagged. Is nice. You can just drive over there and get an elk tag. But I mean, there's still going to be a bunch of units you can draw, no points, whatever. Hopefully it helps on maybe some of the crowding a little bit. Hopefully it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. A lot of guys are looking at it like it's like the end of the world. And don't get me wrong, I get it, you know, because applying for elk tags in any western state, any out of state, really, it doesn't matter. And it's going this way with whitetails too. It's not as easy as it should be. They could make it a very easy, not complicated system, but they choose not to do that, you know? And the thing about Colorado is a lot of guys, like, it's a fallback plan. And don't get me wrong, if I lived in Colorado, I would probably be pushing for the exact same thing, because guys, you know, who don't draw, you know, like New Mexico, it's complete draw. It's like you just put in, it's left up to chance. You know, there's no points, there's no none of that. It's just you got a chance, you got, you know. And then other states like Wyoming, Montana, not the easiest states to apply in. And the thing about Colorado, when guys, you know, didn't get those tags, like, hey, it's okay, I can just grab an over-the-counter tag. And the thing about Colorado is that over-the-counter tag is good in a lot of units.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, it's gonna, I don't know. It's making a lot of guys mad, but I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. You knew it was going to happen. They're the last Western state to do it, besides something with Idaho. They have a kind of over-the-counter system.
Yeah, I think you can. I'm not for sure on what other state. I think you can get an elk tag over-the-counter somewhere else, but, you know, obviously Colorado's been the biggest one for however long, you know, the most popular.
I feel like you and I got into it, like, maybe it's just me, I don't know if you feel this way, got into it just a tad late. You know what I mean? Like, if we could have been born 10, 15 years ago, you know, but this is going to be our second trip out there. And after this, you know, it's points and you gotta play the game.
Oh yeah. Gonna have to play the game in multiple states and try and get a tag every year, a decent tag, hopefully.
Nope. Yep. Agreed. But, and I don't know, we talked about this too, not too long ago. Like, for us, like, don't get me wrong, like, killing an elk is like one of the biggest things on my mind. Oh God. Yeah. Dogs are going crazy about little Prius driving by. I'd be barking at them too. But no, what I was saying is, it's like, for you and I, like, don't get me wrong, killing an elk is like the top of my bucket list right now. But I'm not just dead set on elk. You know, if I can get on any out of state trip, whether it's a mule deer, whether it's an elk, pronghorn, you know, a bear hunt, I just want to do something that I, you know, look forward to besides just whitetails. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it'll be interesting to see how it all goes down and what it looks like here in the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, we're still going to have options on what to do, you know, whether we want to keep just saving points and, you know, hunt a 0 point unit for whether that's elk or deer or whatever it is.
So, all right. Do you think you can break down how points work in out of states? What is a preference point, and what exactly, like, can you explain that a little bit? You want to get into that? Don't have to go down that entire rabbit hole, but give a little breakdown of what you're talking about, what it means, building points, and what you're doing.
I can do my best. I'm not a...
Yeah, we are not professionals here. This is just what we know and our opinion on it and what we think we know.
But Colorado is a true preference point state. So all they have is preference points, and whoever has the most preference points draws those tags. So, you know, they've got units where you don't need any preference points to draw because they're not necessarily great units. And then they've got, you know, their 25 point units that you won't ever fucking draw now because there's so many people that have been applying for so long. It takes 25 years to build up points.
Right. Well, and a lot of things too, like some of the podcasts that you and I listen to, I won't say who it is, but they put it a good way. They say they don't necessarily like building a whole bunch of points because their whole thought is your points are worth more today than they will be next year. And I think what they're talking about is, it's like guys who are kind of in like a spot where they have a good amount of points, but they're never going to reach, you know, these units that take 20, 25 points because they're just always going to keep going up and they're too far behind the curve. So then they'll jump into a lesser point unit. And then the guy who has, you know, 3, 4, 5 points thinks they're going to draw this tag. Well, a guy with, you know, 10 points comes in. And boom, that guy who thought he was going to draw with 4 or 5 points, he's out, you know. And that's point creep, and that's a problem with a lot of these states. And being as new into it as you and I are, like, it's going to be interesting. And I honestly don't really know how it's going to play out or how we're going to go about getting into some of these other states. But, oh, sorry, Drew, if you hear noise, that is Royal playing with rattling and it is loud. I didn't think it was going to be that loud, but it'll be all right. But
he's just having a good time.
Hey, you know, that's part of it, right? But no, I mean, I don't know how it's going to end up shaping up for us in the future, but as long, like I said, as long as we can get on, I don't know, any sort of out of state hunt at least once a year, I'm pretty happy with it, you know?
Yeah. So like Montana has preference points and bonus points.
And they have a, what is it called? A redraw. I can't remember what it's called. You know what I mean? It's a.
Yeah.
go ahead. I listened to these guys explain this the other day and I was completely freaking lost. So go ahead.
I just listened to one the other day, and Montana is super complicated unless you know exactly how this shit works. They've got bonus points and preference points, and I think the most bonus points you can hold is, or most preference points is 3 points, and that's the max.
And you go, and some, you go back, if you don't use them, you go back to zero.
Yes, I believe so. And yeah, Montana is just a real overcomplicated state.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It's, well, and the thing is too, the nice thing about Colorado is, like, currently with how it's been with over the counter tags, you know, you can just, you buy your tag online, or even on units you apply for, you know, you pay for it and they send you the tag. So a lot of these states, you got to like put the money up front, and you know, you can be out $1,000. And if you like, I don't know, there, it's just such a complicated process. And I don't know if that's by design or why they do it like that, but I don't know. We're getting off topic. We don't need to get into Montana, all these other states. We're on Colorado. We're talking about this.
You want to talk about our hunt from last year?
Yeah, that's what I want to get into. So before we dive into that, our plan this year is the 20th through the 30th, right around there. We're going to try to get it done that last part of September, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So let's jump back now. When did we go last year? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was the second week, I believe. Yeah, it was the second week. We weren't able to leave until Sunday morning, or I wasn't able to leave. You got out there before we did. I wasn't able to leave till Sunday morning. I was in a wedding Saturday night.
You and me, weddings are absolutely annoying, most annoying thing. I got married in a courthouse, so when I hear wedding excuses, it makes me want to jump off a freaking bridge.
Yeah, most people definitely don't plan their weddings around our hunting season, which is unfortunate for us.
That is true. Yeah, they're very selfish for not planning their wedding around us.
Exactly.
I mean, what is wrong? Yeah, what is wrong with people?
We lost out on a day and a half or 2 days or whatever for that. So we got out there. We left. Me, my dad, and brother left early Sunday morning. You know, it was like 5 or so in the morning when we got out of here. And got out there Sunday afternoon, and you had already hiked in.
Yep. I left Friday. Let's see here. What Friday would that have been? Here's my calendar. I left Friday. I left on the 8th. I drove out to your place, got out there late Friday night. I think I slept on your couch for like an hour or two. got up, and I headed out. And then you, your brother, and your dad, they met up with you whenever. But I was out there. Shit, I got out there. I don't know. It was like middle of the night or really, really early on the 9th. And I hiked in, you know, I didn't want to go too deep, too far without you guys having, I don't know, without you guys being in the unit at all. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I did a lot of, I don't know, handful, few miles away from the truck and hunted around there, just kind of getting a better idea and layout of it. So then when did, it's so hard for me to remember. When did you guys meet up with me?
Well, we didn't get to you until Sunday night.
Because you guys had to stop and get tags.
We stopped and got tags and got out there. I don't remember what time, but it was sometime or evening on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it actually snowed a little bit on us at the trailhead.
I was up top on the mountain and it was hailing, snowing, raining, windy, and just getting piss pounded by it all at once.
Yeah, so we sat in the truck at the trailhead for probably 20 minutes or so, and the rain let up and turned to snow, and so we got all geared up and started hiking in. The problem was we didn't have an exact, you know, point we were going to.
So, okay, let's, this is kind of hard to do without, you know, saying exactly where we were. But for the guys listening, I'm going to back up one second too. So when I'm ahead of these guys out there, you know, driving, I didn't have my tag yet. And the place I planned on buying my tag was a complete and utter shit show. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Walmart can kick rocks. So from where I was at, I'm like, gosh, what am I doing? I took a gamble, got on my phone, Googling, trying to find where I can get a tag. And I found a little hardware store, and someone made a comment on there, like on a Google review, saying, oh, yeah, I think you can get tags here. Well, that was good enough for me. And it was on the way, but it was kind of one of those things. It's like, if I get 3.5 hours to this place and they don't have a tag, I'm like turning around and going 6 hours back the way I came to get a tag. So anywho, got that tag. It lucked out, made it work. I had to buy a freaking knife sharpener just so I could pay with my card. But okay, so jumping into that, now we're fast forward, back up. I just wanted to throw that in there because I thought it was funny and I was kind of shitting my pants at the time. Like, God, I'm not going to be happy if I lose an entire day just trying to get a tag. So with that being said, buy your tag in advance or know exactly where you're getting it, and it's not a big deal to do. Make sure you have a plan because my plan fell short and I did not have a backup. But okay, we're on the ground. I am miles and miles back in there, and go ahead, take it from there. You guys just started getting in there.
You had all day to hike, so you weren't, it's not like you were hauling ass or anything to get way back in there.
Also, I do have to preface it with, I did not start going back there till later in the day. So I don't know. I think it's funny. I think you and your dad think that I was just like happy-go-lucky, just hopping down the bunny trail, just going back up in there. I didn't get in there. It was pretty late. I don't think I'm getting enough credit for how quick I made it up that mountain. I'm just saying. I think it's funny we talk about it, and I just think it's funny. I'm just saying, I didn't go back there for a while, but go ahead.
But yeah, you were a couple hours ahead of us. And so me and you had been in there before. We had went on that weekend scouting trip, and we had been in there before. So we knew where we were going, but we didn't exactly know.
No, we knew we
wanted to go.
Right. We got back to that certain point, and you and I stopped during that scouting trip, and we're like, okay, it looks like this trail goes way back, winds way back up in there. And we never took the full, we never went all the way up in there on that scout trip. But when we talked on the phone earlier that day, when you guys were heading out to me, I kind of gave you an idea. This is where I'm going.
Yeah. And so, and it was, I'll be honest, it was a tough hike getting back in there. And we didn't get back there till, I don't remember what time it was. I want to say it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night before we made it to you.
Well, you know, I thought it was funny how I honestly had decent service.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
It made it, honestly, it kind of helped because I honestly don't know if you would have found me. I mean, you probably would have because where I did drop camp was a pretty open meadow on the far side near timber, and my lights and stuff were on and whatnot. But I was just glad I was able to kind of half-ass stay in touch with you guys and get you on the phone and be like, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm not all the way up in there where I said where I was going, but I'm right here.
Yeah.
So that's the sun was setting for sure. It was starting to get dark, and I threw up camp, and last thing I knew, I'm like, okay, these guys are good. They're going to find me. No big deal. They'll be here when they get here, and we will fucking get together, get some sleep, and first thing in the morning, we're up and we're out of there hunting. Everyone's going to be good. That's what I was thinking. And then if you want, do you want to keep going? I mean, I'm assuming you guys just started trudging.
Oh, yeah. And I remember talking to you on the phone right as the sun was going down. Because we were, I want to say we were still about 2 miles from you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of dragging ass at that point. Oh, yeah. And I had said to you that we might just set up camp here and then get up early and meet up with you in the morning. And so we tried to find a campsite where we were at.
Couldn't
find a good spot. There was just too much dead trees, and just couldn't find a spot to put camp up. So we said fuck it and just kept going.
See, and that crossed my mind too. I'm like, God, I could pull over, find a spot to camp, but I had it in broad daylight, and I'm like, I don't like this. I'm like, there's too much beetle kill, blowdown, widowmakers, whatever you want to call them. I'm like, nothing's very flat. I'm like, I don't want to just drop camp right here because not, you know, I don't know. I don't know the statistics on that of something actually happening, but I'm like, that ain't a chance I want to take. Uh-oh. Drew?
Yeah. Lost it for a second.
Yep. But that's just a chance I didn't want to take, and I just was like, well, let's just keep going, and then finally found a spot. So, okay, you decided to keep going, and then how far was it from when you guys were, like, you know, pondering, thinking about setting up camp till you got to me?
I want to say it was another 2 miles.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long that took us. Hour and a half, maybe.
All right.
But yeah, we finally made it to where you were at, which is a good thing because you had a good spot for camp, and there was nowhere for us to camp where we were at.
Well, you said we. That's wrong. You found me.
Yeah.
So
my dad was struggling a little bit.
Let me tell you how this goes from my end. I'm all set up. I just had gotten my sleeping bag, kicked my boots off. I was in my sleeping bag for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm sitting there looking at some maps on my phone. And next thing you know, I see a light on the trail. And I'm like, it's just one light. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, this just must be another hunter or something. And then they started coming my way. And I'm like, why is it? I'm like, why is this dude walking straight towards my camp? I'm like, because I'm expecting three headlamps.
Yeah.
And all I see is, here is you, and you go, Braden. I go, yeah. You go, what the fuck? I unzip the tent. I'm like, in my head, first thing, I'm like, I'm excited. I'm like, Drew, what's up? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, where's Reed and where's Rick? And go ahead from there. Tell me how you were feeling. You were not happy.
No, I was definitely struggling a little bit. Definitely should have done a little more cardio before that trip. I was struggling for sure when we hit those switchbacks. You know,
those were killer. The switchbacks, you know, sucked.
We were going straight up for I don't know how long.
And for guys who don't know what a switchback is, it is pretty much when you're going up the mountain and your trail just goes like a snake pretty much. And it's left up a little bit, right, left up. It's just back and forth and it just winds. And, you know, you think you're making, I don't know, you're not covering a lot of ground because you're just walking back and forth pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You're covering a lot of elevation, but it doesn't seem like you're making it very far.
No, you're really not.
But when we hit those kind of killed us. Struggling. And so I called ass ahead of my dad and brother. He dropped all their shit and went back to my dad and brother and made sure they got to camp.
Yeah. You cut out a bit there, but I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but these guys don't. But pretty much what ended up happening was I strapped my booth back on and I went with Drew to go find Rick and Reed. And man, when I got to them, first thought in my head, I was like, oh shit. I'm like, dude, they looked fucking rough. And you didn't look the greatest either. And I knew that you've been training just as much as I have, maybe not as much as I have. I'm psycho, but I knew you were in a lot better shape than they were. And I kind of saw how you were struggling a bit. And then these guys, man, it like, they looked like they had seen a ghost almost. They were wiped. And so we went back, we grabbed their packs and we picked them up and got them to camp.
And Reed actually, I think Reed was doing the best out of the three of us.
Really?
And he did no training at all for this. And I think he's better than any of us.
You know, it's crazy how that elevation can hit certain people a certain way and other guys almost, I wouldn't say unfazed by it, but handle it a lot better. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so we get everyone to camp, and I want to talk about this, too, because I feel like everyone hears about it. They always hear about elevation sickness, but nobody really knows what it is unless you've experienced it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of guys who think, and I probably was this, too, when I first thought about it. I thought, like, elevation sickness was, like, you just get, like, and I'm sure this can happen in severe cases, but like you just get all sorts of dizzy, you can't breathe, you know, you're dehydrated and you're fucked up. You're on the ground. And that I'm sure that can happen, but I also think elevation sickness is it's a combination of a lot of things, you know. Like kind of like you know what I'm trying to say, you know, like how your dad was talking about it, how like you're not hungry. You know,
you don't want to be there.
Yes. Like all these things.
Thoughts start to creep in your mind.
Yeah. Like you get all these bad thoughts. You're like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? you're not eating, you know, you're dehydrated. You're just, you start kind of getting a little trippy almost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of hit everybody a little bit that first night, especially you guys who didn't get as much time, or you didn't get to, because you got to think, I was in the mountain a whole day ahead of you. So that first day, I hunted lower, and I kind of got to get used to that elevation a bit.
Yeah.
But, okay, we get everyone to camp, we get tents set up, and get food hung, and we get everyone set up and ready for bed, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, oh gosh, this is early. This is early in the trip, man. So we wake up, we get everyone up, we're going. We head even further back because we were probably still, what, a couple miles from where we from where I said we were going to be?
Yeah, I want to say we were a mile or a mile and a half.
Okay, so we get back there, and what were your thoughts on it when we got back in there?
There was more people back there than I expected, for sure.
There were a lot, because there were some water sources and some ponds, and there was, I don't remember how many tents we saw, but there was a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things, you kind of, you get two options, really. You're like, well, do we keep going? And the layout of the landscape back there, it was a lot different from where we spent majority of our trip.
Yeah, it was.
It was more open, you know, you could do a lot more glassing and more open country, really. Don't get me wrong, there were still, you know, timber, and but it was a lot more wide open spaces. And
yeah,
my thought on the whole thing was, I'm like, man, there are four of us and there's a lot of open ground up here. So, mm-hmm. You know, you can look at it a couple different ways. A lot of guys, some people like that type of landscape, and other guys kind of like the more timber, more thick areas, you know. And we kind of made the decision to, you know what, let's bug out of here, pretty much, is what we did. To put it in easy terms, we got back there, we saw all the camps, and who knows how many more camps were, you know, beyond those mountains if we went up and over. You don't know, but it's one of those things, we were so far back. If we kept going and ran into the same problem, we're wasting even more time, you know, getting out of there.
Yeah.
So go ahead from there. What'd we do?
Well, we hiked out, and on the way out, we ran into this guy that he was hunting and ripped a hole in his back pocket and lost his wallet.
Oh my God. Tag in there. I forgot about that.
And so he had to hike all the way back out, drive to town, get a new tag, and then hike back in.
Mm.
And so we talked to him, and he kind of showed us a couple spots on the map where we were at, kind of closer to the trailhead of where he had heard bulls bugling the day or night before, whatever. So we decided to spend the rest of that day and evening a little closer to the trailhead and hunt around there.
Right, which was back down. And I guess I kind of left out, when I was going up, there were a couple of muzzleloader guys with deer tags in their pockets, and I got to chat with them a bit. And before I get into this, let me just say this. Some people out there are, you know, the biggest assholes, and then some people talk to you like you're they're your best friend, you know. Mm. And it's kind of hard to determine who's telling the truth and who's not. And we'll get into a few more of them situations later on, with some other guys, but the guys I talked to, man, and I kind of took them for their word because they didn't have an elk tag. They, you know, what they were doing there. I hate fucking cats with a passion. Anywho, you know, it kind of depends who you talk to, and you kind of just gotta, you know, judge them off the few sentences you've said back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
But the group of guys I ran into had mule deer tags in their pockets. You know, they were walking out with a deadhead. So there were elk back up in there. But like,
oh yeah,
coming down the trail, you know, we went ran into that guy. He was a good dude from what I thought, at least. You know, I talked to him like, hey, you know, he's telling the truth. Maybe he could have been bullshitting us the whole fucking time. And when we ended up, you know, clear over there and all that downfall, we could have just been spinning our tails.
Yeah. Well, we had, and that night after talking to him, we heard bugles, but they were deep down and.
Oh, Drew, there you are. We lost you for a minute. I don't know if you're pondering the living room or what you're doing, but we need you to be in the best spot possible.
I'm sitting right next to my Wi-Fi router in my office. I don't think I got a better spot.
Fuck. Oh, man. But okay, so I kind of forgot that we did that too. We made it down the trail, and we talked to a handful of people up there. Remember the scientist we saw on horses?
Oh, yeah, the biologist. What a, yeah. She used to be the biologist there.
Your dad didn't like those ones. He's like, I think they were pulling our leg.
Yeah.
But okay, we get over to this other spot, and we heard some bugles. But we also saw some other guys camped back in there. Remember that? When you and I...
Yeah.
So, we went down. We hunted the remainder of that day. And then, pretty much fast forward it to where we pulled camp.
Where we moved spots?
Yes.
Yeah, so the next morning is when we left in the pickup and drove to the second spot we had.
Which we did scout. Remember that? We did, because we made it to multiple locations on that scout trip, and we had an idea where we were going. Kind of the same thing, you know. When you go on a scouting trip, and especially an area that you don't know, you're not going to always get things figured out. Like, you're going to get a general idea of the area, and you're not necessarily going to, like, you have somewhat of an idea where you're going, but you really don't. Unless you've just hunted that unit over and over, and, you know, you get to know it like the back of your hand over the years. Not necessarily the case with us. So we got to where we parked the trucks originally, and we started repacking up our gear, and we determined, okay, we're going to take this trail as far back as we can, and we're going to drop the trucks, and this is what we're doing. So let's get into the group of guys we talked to before we made that trip all the way back in the trucks.
Yeah. So we were parked, kind of getting our gear ready to go. And a guy pulled up on his four wheeler. He had a moose tag.
Moose tag guy.
Yeah. so we were talking to him a little bit, and he said, he had heard a bull bugling the past couple mornings down in his straw that wasn't too far away. And he told us the name of it. And so we found it on the map and decided we'd go check that out first. Because he said he had heard that bull bugling multiple days.
I think we saw that bull.
Oh, yeah. That was the bull that he had been hearing.
Yep. So hang on real quick. So like that guy, he has a moose tag. Okay. And for those who don't know, I don't know a whole lot about moose tags, but I know they're not the easiest thing to get a hold of.
No.
So this guy, when we're talking to him, he doesn't give two shits about the elk. He was a good dude, and he asked us about moose, and we were straight up like, man, we haven't seen any moose, you know? And
well, when we were scouting, we saw that big bull
on the private.
We were driving back into that place that was on private, yeah.
Right, and we told him that. I feel bad because, you know, we saw some moose later on in our trip, and I'm like, man, I wish this would have already happened so we could have told that guy, like, helped him out a bit like he helped us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, so that guy, that's when we were kind of still down low. That's when we determined that's where we're going, way back up in there.
Yep.
And it was maybe, 20 minutes later, here comes fucking G.I. Joe in his lifted big old Silverado. Drew, I don't know how you feel. I'm not a very nice person. I wanted to pull him out of the truck and whoop his ass. And he probably would have whooped mine because he was a big boy. He was a big dude. He was jacked.
Yeah.
But do you want to explain this or do you want me to?
I can.
Go ahead.
Well, he basically wanted to know exactly where we were going, you know, to the exact waypoint of where we planned on going. And we didn't necessarily have a perfect idea of where we were going. We knew we were going to go check out this draw that this guy said he was hearing bugles in. And this guy was elk hunting too. And so we didn't necessarily want to tell him, oh, we're going to this draw because this moose hunter told us that bolts were bugling down there.
Right. And he wasn't, if remember this, he wasn't hunting. Well,
he had a hunter with him.
He was guiding a muzzleloader guy.
Yeah,
which he wanted to know exactly what we were doing and where. And we honestly still weren't 100%. Like, we knew about this draw that I don't know if we had already found on the map or not. I didn't think we did. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, I heard some elk, and I've been told that there's a whole bunch over here in, you know, Strawberry Patch, whatever he said. And I'm like, dude, I don't know where that is. He's like,
yeah, he started naming off a whole bunch of,
yeah,
a bunch of places, mountaintops that we didn't know where the fuck they were at.
No, and we're like, yeah, okay, well, we still don't really know what we're doing, so we're done with this guy. We exchanged a few words. I thought he was a complete prick. We get back in there, and let's go ahead. We're getting close to some time here. I want to break these up in about hour episodes. We're at 47 minutes. So let's get, you know what? How do you want to do this? How far do you think we can get in this? We're going to end up cutting the story like right in the middle, and we're just going to have to pause it and pick it back up.
Yeah, that works. But we can skip ahead a little bit. That first evening, so we got in there in the afternoon.
We got back to the trail. We parked, we hiked in, and we went to this draw.
Mm-hmm.
So we, once again, man, first time being out there, it's late. It's kind of one of those situations where you almost kind of hunt. It's almost like a whitetail situation, really. Like, you pick a spot, and we kind of like both, everyone kind of split up a bit and kind of had a spot just, you know, in case a bull came coming off the mountain, you know. And I thought we did it okay because, you know, thermals are starting to pull down the mountain. We're in the bottom. If a bull came walking by, great. If not, no harm done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too late in the day to do anything.
Yeah.
So take it from there. We're all set up in spots, you know, and we're hearing elk. Or at least I was. Where I was at, I was hearing some bulls screaming.
Yeah, from where I was at, I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I was at like the closest point of where we all came down at, and you guys kind of dispersed and we kind of spread out down and around that draw. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw him first, and you could just tell how angry this guy was. He came storming right through the middle of that fucking thing, pissed off, has this guy behind him with a muzzleloader, and it was because of us, was it not?
Yeah, he wasn't happy we were in his spot, that's for sure.
And don't get me wrong, I get it. He's a guide, you know, someone's paying him money. He's trying to get this dude on a bull. He probably knew about this bull prior to us even getting there. And the boys from Kansas done screwed him up.
Yeah.
Which, that's part of the game, man. And he might think that we were assholes and that we did whatever to him. But we had no idea whatsoever that we went to this guy's exact fucking spot.
Yeah, we didn't know he'd be down there. He wasn't.
Hang on. Quit talking.
See there?
Yep, gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he was camped up on the road at his pickup. We had no idea that's where he was hunting.
Well, from there, he comes storming by. I heard a few more bugles, but it was an uneventful night.
Yeah.
So, did we or did we not have camp set up prior to us doing that hunt?
I believe we set camp up first.
Okay. I think you're right. And I bet that's what really triggered him because he saw the tents.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to talk? Yeah, you want me to talk. Sorry. I was drinking coffee. Well,
so the next morning is when we got on that bull. Do you want to talk about that in this episode or the next one?
Let's do it on the next one. We got a few minutes here. Let's just how are your thoughts? How did you feel from being in that first area where we came way up top? Versus this new area? What were your thoughts?
Well, I think it was a good decision just because, you know, we got on some elk. I don't really care where we are, you know, as long as we get on some elk. And I think that second spot was a better place to be at the time, for sure.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, it's one of those things you just don't know. We could have went further back in the first spot and, who knows, been covered up in him. We could have got to the new spot and never saw a single elk. But you got to just make decisions kind of on the fly and have backup plans, right? And we kind of talked about it on the phone last night. You got to have plan A through Z, man. 1 through 1,000. If this doesn't work, what we're going to do. And we made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, you just got to learn from it. Like, we also talked about how, like, remember we packed up in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
We should have packed up at night. We should have drove through the night. You know, the goal is when you're out there, you want to get as much time to hunt as you possibly can, because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you think about it, wow, we're hunting the 20th through the 30th, you know, we got 10 days. This is a long time to get one killed. It's not.
Oh, no.
It's not. How do you explain that, man? It goes by faster than you think. And just little odds and ends lose a lot of time. Packing up in the middle of the day, driving during hunting hours. Like, you're always going to make mistakes, and you got to learn from it. And it's a big what-if game. You know, you never know what's going to happen or what could have happened. You just kind of got to keep going and have a plan, right?
Yeah. Moving spots, it definitely takes up a lot of your time if you're going to hike out and drive somewhere else and hike in.
And it takes a lot of time too. And don't get me wrong, it's not a waste of time necessarily, but when you hike 10, 12 miles back in there and you just see tent after tent after tent, you know, you got to know what you're doing. And I think I like the decision that we said, you know what, screw it, let's get out of here. Because it's public ground. It is Colorado over the counter tag. You are going to see people whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from people, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, you just got to make a decision and you got to go with it and you got to stand by it and see what happens.
Yeah.
But, okay, now we are pretty much there. We're going to pause. We are in, recap here, we are in a new location. We've heard some elk. We've seen Macho Man stomping the grounds, pissed off. We're excited. We're back at camp.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Drew, let me, I'm going to end this one and we're going to pick up where we left off.
All right, man. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Midwest Times Hunt podcast. Stay tuned for part 2.